Parshas told us. The Pasuk says, Vayisrotzu, Vayisrotzu Abanam Bekirbo, in the beginning of told us. Vatomer em Kain, Lomaza Anochi, Vatelach Lidrosh Hashem. Yes, yeah, so you know the Chazal, Rabbi Sina Darshu, Loshin Ritza, means that she was pregnant and she sensed that there was a conflict going on within her. So what was the conflict? So Chazal say it's Lashon Ritza, it means rushing. So when she went by the Beis HaMedrash of Shem Ve'Ever, so Yaakov ran and tried to escape. And when she went by the Beis Avodah Zarah, so Esav tried to get out. All right. That they were arguing, another pshat, that they were arguing, they were fighting one with each other. And they were arguing about the inheritance of two worlds. So the two worlds means Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa. Alright, so the pasuk goes on. So she went to ask at the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever, what does this mean? Apparently she sensed that it wasn't a normal phenomena. And there was something metaphysical going on. So the Yom HaShem law, God said to Ashnei Goyim Bevitne, the two nations in your womb. Ushnei Le'umim Mima'ech Yiparedu, and two nations will be generated from you. Ule'om Elom Yemotz V'Rav Yavod Tzoyer. What is the meaning of the Pesukim? So Chazal say an interesting thing. Shnei Goyim Bevitne. Rashi's Shnei Goyim Bevitnech. So the word Goyim, the Vav is missing. It's Gimel, two Yuds, and a Mem. So Rashi's, it means Shnei Goyim Ksiv. Kimo Goyim means lofty. Not really lofty. It would mean Goyim means people of high stature. Yeah, rulers. People of high stature. Elu Antoninus Verebi. So Chazal say this is referring to Antoninus, the Roman Emperor, and Rabbi Yudah Nasi. They never lacked from their table radishes or lettuce, no matter what, whether it was summertime, whether it was wintertime, because they're really seasonal foods. And Rabbi Yudah Nasi and Antoninus, they always had exotic dishes on their tables. That's what the Chazal say. So I want to understand, what is the meaning of this Chazal, Shnei Goyim, Shnei Geim Bevitnech? And why, it seems from the comparison, like Chazal are making comparison, like it's a good thing. You know, these two great people, the Roman Emperor, and on one hand, and Rabbi Yudah Nasi on the other hand. There's another medrash also, Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, so it's a similar medrash. Shnei Geim Bevitnech, again the same drasha, the fact that the Vav is missing. So it says Adrianus Buumos, that's Adrianus Adrian, the Roman Emperor, who Shlomo be Israel, and Shlomo among the Jews. So what do you see from this Chazal? From this Chazal you see one thing, that Yadus respects the strength of character and greatness in man. In Yadus, the person who is a tzaddik is not the person who is a nice guy, like the common popular ethic, but the great person in Yadus is a man of conquest, a person who has a strength of character to be a conqueror. And the whole idea was of the struggle that was going on within her was that these individuals were basically destined by their nature to be great people, to be great conquerors. The only thing was that there were two different areas of conquest that they were involved in. One was the conquest of the physical world. You see, that was representative by Esav, and the second was the conquest of the inner world. That was the conquest of Yaakov. But why do they bring down Rebbe Yudah Nasi and Antoninus? because they both had the, they both partook of the, they both had the external conquest. But there was a difference between the two, between the two. For Antoninus, that was his very essence. That was his essence. His essence was the conquest of the external world. Whereas Reb Yehuda Nasi also had the, Reb Yehuda Nasi was a very wealthy man. Reb Yehuda Nasi had a beautiful palace, and he always had all the exotic dishes and all the, everything that's, all the concomitants of a great ruler. But to him, that was only, it was all only accidental. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that Reb Yehuda Nasi lifted up his finger to God, and he said, Goli v'yadula fanecha, shalona nesi ke'etzba katana shalim, and olam hazeh. I didn't enjoy this much, didn't partake of this much enjoyment from the physical world. So for Reb Yehuda Nasi, it was really only a means. He had the conquest of the external as well. He was also a conqueror. But it was only a means for his essence, which was really chachma. Whereas by Antoninus, the Roman emperor, that was his whole essence. His essence was the conquest of the external. So what I want to bring out is that the Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, really the idea, the concept of being they weren't regular people. That she wasn't dealing in a, and the Torah really praises them. The Torah praises them because of their ability to be able to conquer. That's really the essence of the Maamar Chazal, really. That's the greatness of man. That was their tremendous ability. The fact that Esav became a Rasha really was only due to the fact that he didn't use his abilities for the proper purpose, but not the fact that he was a conqueror, because he wasn't born a Rasha. A person cannot be born a Rasha. Esav was born with the ability, with tremendous ability, to be able to take the external world and mold it according, and mold it. That's really what man is. Man is the chefshua, the ability to mold and be able to accomplish and be able to do. That's really the greatness of man's nature. But the only thing is that Esav's realm really was in the physical. That's not what made him a Rasha, really. What made him a Rasha was the fact that he used it in an evil way. But not the fact that he was a great conqueror. Greatness in the Torah is respected. Greatness is the ability for man to be able to conquer. That's really the idea of the pasuk. Shnei goyim bevitneich, shnei geyim. Geyim is really l'shvach. It's not a gnai. Geyim means great people. These people are mighty, mighty individuals. Mighty individual is something which Yadis looks up to. The only thing is, the only time it becomes evil is if that mightiness is used, if the end purpose of the mightiness is not directed properly. But the fact that he was a mighty man, he was a great conqueror, is l'shvach. As a matter of fact, you see, Yitzchak really knew, as you know, that he had two brachas, the Birkas Avram, really, in the end of the parasha, he gave to Yitzchak anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, he gave to Yaakov anyways. But the first bracha, he gave to he wanted to give to Esav. Why did he want to give it to Esav? It says because he liked Esav. What did he like about Esav? It says Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav ki tzayed befiv. What is the plain pshat? Tzayed befiv. Tzayed means the that which he captured was in his mouth. What it means, the plain pshat is, and there's a lot of pshat in tzayed befiv, but the plain pshat is that if you take a look, you see an animal when it has a prey in its mouth. That's the sign of conquest. When a lion comes back from the hunt with the prey in its mouth, that's the symbol of a conqueror. So what did Yitzchak admire in Esav? He admired in Esav that he had that ability to conquer. And the only thing is, he didn't realize that Esav wanted to was turned and used it for a bad purpose. But insofar as he was able to conquer, Yitzchak, you see, respected him. He wasn't a fool. He knew that Yaakov was an Ishtam Yosher Olam. He's a different type of conqueror. He's a kind of conqueror of the internal world. And he recognized that ultimately, of course, this is really the essence. But the fact that Esav was a conqueror was a shvach. And you see that he really wanted to give the brachos to Esav. But the brachos that were given to Esav, as you know, as we one time spoke about, it was V'itnu cholikim ital shemayim shmanei aretz, and Chazal say Zu Mikra Zu Mishnah. It means that the purpose of the brachas, the purpose of the physical conquest, was supposed to be for, ultimately for for the spread of knowledge, the spread of chachma. It's supposed to be used for that. But if a person is not a conqueror, he can't accomplish anything. Just a plain nice person doesn't mean anything. A great person is a man that can accomplish. Of course, what makes him a tzaddik of Russia is what the end product is. Somebody one time asked me a question. They said that as a physicist in Syracuse, as a brilliant theoretical physicist, brilliant fellow. So he heard when I gave the shiur on Esav and Yaakov. So I explained the whole thing, how Yitzchak really wanted to give it to Esav because he thought Esav would use it for good. So he said, it's all very nice. There's only one pasuk I don't understand. He asked me, it says, how could he say, Yavducha Amin, what is it supposed to say? Yavducha Amin Shalom. Hevei Gevir Lachecha. Hevei Gevir Lachecha. He says, that I don't understand. Because how could he say that Esav should be a Gevir, a master, over his brother, over Yaakov? You see, how is that possible? That's already too much. Can I understand giving him a Gevir? I would Hevei Gevir Lachecha. The answer is, because Yitzchak recognized in Esav the ability for conquest in the physical world. And he really thought that he has this ability, that's his place in life. And in that area, he's the master. In that area, Yaakov has to bow to him. Yaakov has to recognize him. Of course, the concept was that he would use it for a good purpose. So therefore, on the contrary, it would work out very well. Esav will use it for the right purpose. But when it came to the conquest of the physical, of the material world, Esav was the man. And he would be the one that would really, and that would be his area. That's the area. No, it was a different kind of a situation. In other words, the situation was where Esav would really be the conqueror of the physical world, and that's his domain, but it would be used for the purpose of the spread of Chochma, which was Yaakov's domain. So Yitzchak thought it was a perfect plan. You have two sons, each one is a master in his field. They work together. This he envisioned as the ultimate plan. It'll be perfect. See, that was really the idea. That's why it says they were fighting about the Nachlas Shnei Olamos, two worlds. Two worlds means it's not that Chazal put down the physical world. The physical world is an entity. Of course, the ultimate is, of course, the true idea is to recognize that. But just to put down the physical world and say that that's nothing, that's connected to Torah. That's against the whole Torah. Success is what the Torah really respects. A man that has the ability to be successful is a great thing. That's the greatness of man. A person that's just on a lamacho, I mean, just a nice person, nice guy. That's not the idea of perfection in Yadas. And you see also by Yosef also. You see what was the whole thing with the chalomos of Yosef? Hinei anachnu ma'alim alumim v'sel chasada. So what he said was that he would have physical material power over them. He'd be the one that's in charge of the financial situation. So it says the Rav's great grandfather says a nice shot over there. Because it says in the pasuk, it says that first the two chalomos. First chalom was that he says na'alachnu al malumim, right? Yeah. So Vayomer lo echav hamoloch timloch aleinu and mashal timshal banu. Are you going to be the one that's going to rule over us with your material power? So he says vayasifu od snow aso al chalamosa v'al devarav. Then it says in the second one, just a second. Second one it says, I'm sorry. Vayirecho. First one is vayisnu aso, right?
Yeah.
And the second one is Vayakanavalafa. That's right. Second one, first one is Sino, and the second one it says, the second one was with the Hashemesh Vayarech Chadas Kochav Mishtachavim Li. So over there it says Vayasapra Lo Velechav Vayigabo Aviv, and it says, Vayakanavalachav Vaviv Shamar Sadavar. So really it was representative, the two dreams were representative of power and might in both areas. One was the physical world, and one was the material world, and the second one was the intellectual world. So in the first one it says Vayisno, so they hated him. Why? Because man wants to exercise power over you, so you hate him. But in the second dream where he said he's going to be intellectually over them, so over there they envied him. It says they envied him. Because when it came to the material world, they hated him because he wants to exercise power. But when it came to the intellectual world, that already they were envious, because that was something that they really wanted. You see, they had a desire for it. But you see from the whole idea of the Torah, that the Torah has a respect for a person insofar as he's able to conquer. Nechol Shnei Olamos. Each one is a measure of human accomplishment and human success. Insofar as Antoninus and Rebbe are both on the same level, insofar as they both partake of the same ability to master and to accomplish. That's Shnei Geim B'Vitnech. Yes. Now he's right. The Rambam at the end of the Mora mentions that the first perfection is the perfection of a person's financial wealth. That's the first perfection. The question, of course, is why is that really considered something that's great? Let's understand why that's considered something that's great. I would say like this: what is the mentality that prevents a man from being a conqueror? That's what we have to understand. What is the mentality? We're talking about the average mentality, average person that just goes along in life. See, what kind of a mentality is that? That's really the mentality of an individual who is a total dependent. He's a dependent. Why can't most people go out and be on their own, go out into the world and be on their own? Why do people look? They look for a comfortable nook. A person looks for a little job where he can have a little thing to do, and he's set. You see, what it is really a frame of mind in which a person is trying to recreate the scene of early childhood, where he's protected, where he's safe, where he's guarded. He's a dependent. People, there isn't a nature of man the desire to perpetuate that state. And Yahadus really has a halachic structure for such a state. You know what the halachic structure is?
Eved Ivri?
Eved, that's right. Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri. What's the halach of Eved Ivri? Eved Ivri is if the person wants to, if he wants to be an Eved temporarily, so the Torah says it's excusable. Understand? He's in dire needs. He's in dire straits. He has to make his, sell himself for an Eved, and he has to work for 6 years. Fine. But if he says, Lo Eitze Chafshi, I don't want to leave my master's house, I don't want to be a free man, so then it says that you have to do Ritziyasa Ozen. And why? Because the ear that heard on Har Sinai, Ki Li B'nei Yisrael Avodim, because they are my servants, and they are not servants to others, V'lo Avodim L'Avodim, that ear should be Nirtza. So they all ask the question, Marsha asks the question, that's not the only mitzvah on Har Sinai, the Tayag mitzvah on Har Sinai, so you should do Ritziyasa Ozen, you should pierce the ear for every mitzvah that a person is over. Now, the answer is because this is the most basic premise of the whole idea, really, of the whole essence of Yadus. The essence of Yadus is Ki Li B'nei Yisrael Avodim means that they were taken out of the dependent state of an Eved by Paro, and they have to move into reality. To be able to handle reality on their own 2 feet. You see? That was the whole difficulty. They really couldn't do it. That's why they turned back. That's why couldn't they fight the other nations? Even when they had a nevuah that they're going to be successful, they couldn't do it. Because they simply were unable to be conquerors. See, they couldn't conquer the land. They couldn't express conquest. In order for a person to express conquest, he has to be able to break the infantile state, the infantile mold. And as long as he can't break away from that, it means he can't deal directly with reality. Now, a person who is capable of, in order for a person to make any type of breakthrough, and people don't realize it, but I'm speaking about an intellectual breakthrough. The most important quality that a person needs, I would say the most important quality that a person needs in order to accomplish anything is courage. A person has to have courage. He has to have the courage. Courage, what does courage mean? Courage means that he can't be an individual that wishes to remain in a safe situation where he's a total dependent, where he's taken care of by others. Courage means the ability to be able to step out into reality. Now, there are two different types of stepping out into reality. There's a stepping out into reality in the material world. That's also courage. That's why very few people, how many people are really tremendously successful in any area. I mean, whatever it is, whether it's a business or any area it might be, medicine, whatever it is. How many people are really successful in those areas? Very few. Why? Because the nature of man is simply to follow a mold. just to go and follow along the beaten path. Why? Because that gives them a sense of security, which makes them feel very safe, and is reminiscent, or it actually is an extension of his early state of childhood, his state of dependency. The ability to be a conqueror in the material world is the greatness of man, because it means man facing reality. That's what it means. And in thought also, in thought as well, for a person to make a breakthrough in an idea takes tremendous courage. More than anything else, takes tremendous courage. You say, what is the courage? It's not going to get hurt. It's not a matter of being hurt physically. But you have to understand something, that courage doesn't necessarily attach itself to a fear, a direct fear of physical harm. Courage is something which a person has, in order to have courage, a person has to be able to overcome, essentially, the fear of leaving the protective ways of the of his secure past, you see. And for a person to be able to say that everybody is wrong, and to be able to think, to be able to entertain a thought that is totally different, and to be able to abandon and throw away something from the past, like an Avraham Avinu, to be able to do that, takes more than anything else, takes great courage. Because what happens is like this, that a person feels safe in his ideas because of the fact that everybody partakes of the same ideas. So we're all together. We all partake of the same ideas. It gives them a sense of security. We all worship God in the same way. We all do this. This is a sense of security of society. For a person to realize that suddenly that everybody's wrong, it means he's alone. It's just him in reality. He's all alone in reality. That takes tremendous courage. See, that takes tremendous courage. That's why in the area, in order for a person to be able to be in an area of accomplishment, requires a certain ability to remove himself from his past, from the safety of his past, and to be able to step out and to face reality. Who faces reality? You face reality in two ways. A person faces reality in his material, in the material world, and a person faces reality in the world of ideas. Those two worlds are where the person faces reality. That's the Shnei Olamos. There's a true courage and there's a false courage. False courage is where a person just wants to do something just because it's different. He just wants to go against society. That's simply a desire to overcome his weakness. That's not really true courage. True courage means that he's in reality. He's working within reality. He's not trying to be a hero. Yeah. See, what I'm saying is that Yadus can split off two things in man. So while it is true that the people who, many of the individuals, and perhaps most, and I don't even know, maybe even all, I mean, I don't know, but certainly most would seem to have been driven by an irrational desire, that is true, there's no question about it. But what we admire in the person is that he has that ability to confront reality. That ability the man has. It's true that there are other things that he has which we don't admire, which could make the person the worst. Russia. We don't admire Russia. Russia means an evil person. But nevertheless, what it means is that there is a certain characteristic that he exhibits. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, the Gemara says that, was it Hurdis that asked, Zarin, you must curse me, you must be cursing me, I think he said. Gemara Bav Basha? So he said, no, he said, I wouldn't curse you. He says, because the Pasuk says, Gam b'chadre chadorecha osher al tekao. Even in the chadre chadorim, you shouldn't curse a wealthy man. See? So what is it? What kind of chazal? It doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? This man's the worst Russia. What do you mean? Why shouldn't you curse him? On the contrary. Why? What does Usher represent? Because Usher represents the man that has the ability to go out and to face the external world and to conquer.
Yeah,
that's the
other idea, that the army is like the man.
That's right. As a matter of fact, Halach and Shulchan Aruch. Halach and Shulchan Aruch is that the Ramah says that there's nothing wrong with calling up a very wealthy person, an usher, calling him up to the Torah, who's known, Gadol Hador, is known as a very prestigious person, wealthy, prestigious person. You can call him up before Talmud Chacham, Ramah says. He says, ain't paid the bedavar. He says, on the contrary. He says, it's a cover for the Torah, that the Torah is nichbad al yidei anashim mechubadim. So it's psak halacha. So you see, what is the respect? What is the respect? The respect is because there lies in the ability to conquer a certain element which is part of the godless Adam. And that's what Yadis respects. The man could be the worst Russia. The man could have no chel and olam haba whatsoever. It's true. Just because he has this great quality doesn't mean that he's batuach to have a chel and olam haba. That's his inherent quality. But the quality per se we respect. The ability. That ability we accept. Ah, if we respect the person, depends if he's a tzaddik or a Russia.
Let's say
a Russia we don't respect. Say Yimach Shemov Zichro. A Russia we don't respect. But the fact that he reflects a certain quality, a certain
that's
ability,
we respect.
That we respect.
And let's say a guy...
Not the person.
Is not a... Let's say he's not a tzaddik.
Unless the person uses it for good. The person uses it for good, then he's like the case in the Ramah. That you call him up to the Sefer Torah.
He means like...
What does it mean? B'chadrei chadarecha asher al tekal, he shouldn't curse a wealthy man even in your inner chambers. Because what it means is that when a person curses a wealthy man, he usually curses the whole idea of the man being a wealthy man. You see? He's a wealthy man, you see, and I'm a poor man. So there's a put down for the wealthy man per se. That is usher. That you can't do. He used the wrong. But the fact that he's a wealthy man in a conqueror reflects the fact that he's a conqueror. Truth of matter, see, you see, it's not an infantile thing. The truth of the matter is that most people would have done this exact same thing. Don't think that these people were so, that these people were able to do so much evil because of the fact that they are necessarily more evil than the average person. The average person will wind up in a situation, will not do it, not be necessarily because of his tzidkus, but because of his weakness.
Then he makes that into a virtue.
Because of, that's exactly. Then he makes that weakness into a virtue. The fact that he can't do it is a tzaddik. What I'm saying is like this. The conquest of the eternal requires courage in two fronts. It requires courage. One front that requires courage is in terms of being able to think differently than everybody else and to recognize that he's alone in a different world of reality. And the other aspect of the conquest is being able to face himself. Being able to understand himself and being able to face the reality of his own nature. That requires the greatest courage. That requires the greatest courage. Those two areas are where perfection really results from. But in order to do it, he has to have that courage. If he doesn't have that courage, he will not be successful in either effort. Halacha Ramah is in Reish Pei Beis Gimel. The Ein Isser. He says, "Ve'ein yisur likros am ha'aretz." Means an ignoramus. Nichbad ashir v'god lador lifnei talmud chacham. Ki ein ze bizoyin l'talmud chacham. Rakoved l'torah shemischabela shemischabedes ba'anoshim gedolim. You could, as a matter of fact, Alexander the Great. You see that Yadis does recognize him. Does recognize his greatness, Alexander the Great. Besides the fact that Hazan is
alive.
And you see that the name Alexander stayed among the Jewish nation to this day. The name Alexander stayed among the Jewish nation to this day. Because of the respect for the man, that he reflected that greatness. The conqueror. The idea of naming a kid after him, show they wouldn't perpetuate the name of Russia. Well, they would never offer him that. Something else. They offered him that because they held that he was worthy. He reflected a certain idea. Otherwise, they would never. That's a warped thing.
We
were selling out our values for was the right. You're right. The man is right. It's a pasuk. That shame Rishon Yerokeh. That the name of the wicked have to be destroyed. You're not allowed to perpetuate the name. The fact that Klal Yisrael was permitted to perpetuate the name of Alexander to make him that offer, you see, shows that he reflected something of the greatness of man. There's another, in Bereishis and Chafei, it says that Vayovo Esav min asodeh v'hu oyev. Right? Esav came back from the field and he was tired. So then he said, give me this food because I'm very hungry. And it says, sell me your birthright. Behold, I'm going to die. What do I need the birthright for? So the question is, no one understands. What does that pasuk mean? What do you mean because I'm going to die? You know, Chazal say about this, Rashi has a hard time with this pshat. Hinei enochi holech lomos. Rashi says, two pshatim. One pshat is that misnodedes v'aleches, the b'chara keeps going down. Why? Because eventually it's not going to list. the Bechorah is not going to stay with the Avodah is not going to stay by the Bechorah. In other words, which means that he doesn't want something that's eventually going to be, he doesn't want, he only wants something that's going to eventually have, be great. But right now, this is only a temporary thing that the Avodah is in the Bechorah. Later, it's going to go over to Shevet Levi. Alright, that's one pshat. Second pshat is, he says, Mati v'shal avodah zu. Seitol, what kind of avodah is this? Seitol, you can get killed by doing this avodah if you do it improperly. So he said, no, that's not for me. I don't need to say it. Because if you're in Yayin, so then you're going to Yechayiv Misa. You have to be careful with this, Yechayiv Misa, too many Azaras, I don't want it. There's another chazal over here. Chazal say, there's another chazal. Chazal say like this. Chazal say, what happened on that day? It says the Yalkut Shimon present. By Yosef Yaakov Nazir, Amalei Esav Mativo Shel Tav Shel Zeh. He says, what are you cooking this for? Amalei, he said, Shemeso Sezakein. Because Avram Avinu died. That was there Avram Avinu died. Amalei, so he said to him, Ba'oso Zakein Noga Midas Adin. And this, the Midas Adin, in other words, this Zakein, this great man, Avram Avinu, he had to suffer the fate of the Midas Adin. He died. He says, Amar am Kain, lo yesh matan sachar. If that's the case, there is no reward. V'lo tchias amesim. And there's no tchias amesim anymore. He denied the whole tchias amesim, denied everything. But Ruch HaKodesh, Amar, Ruch HaKodesh says, al tifku l'meis Avram. You shouldn't cry for a mace. That's referring to Avram Avinu. Bachu laholech, where the pasuk says you should cry for a person that dies, ze Esav. That's referring to Esav. What is the Medrash talking about? So the pshat is, you see, what happened was like this: that over here, this was vayigdalu on arm. That was when they became older. So when they became older, you see that Esav was wrestling with his bechira, what he should do, what type of a life should he lead? So of course he was driven different forces within him. And there was one thing that kept him on the right track. What kept him on the right track? Avram Avinu, his grandfather. But what really kept him in Avram Avinu? He saw his grandfather, an old man, a tzaddik. The man is sitting and learning, and he's very old. And what he did was, he simply projected onto him, you see, he projected onto him immortality. That's basically what his emotional state was. Avram Avinu, Tzadik is the represents immortality. So therefore, since to him the idea of being a tzadik was very closely tied with immortality, so when he heard that he died, that broke his whole emotional fortress that prevented him from doing evil. See? What kept Esau from being in Russia? One thing. The image of Avraham Avinu. But what was it in the image that kept him? It was the fantasy of immortality. Once he saw that Avraham Avinu died like anybody else, so then it was all over. The fantasy of immortality was broken. Once the fantasy of immortality was broken, that's why he said, see, it doesn't make any sense. It's not a logical thing. He says, Im kein lo yesh matan socher. There's no schar anymore. And there's no tchis amesim. What does it got to do with it? The answer is, it means to say that he only believed in these things because he was able to attach himself to the fantasy of immortality in Avram Avinu. See? And the Medrash goes on. The Medrash says, where the Pasuk says, Ruach HaKodesh says, Ruach HaKodesh Omer. But what is the Ruach HaKodesh represents the true idea? What does the true idea say? When the Pasuk says, Al tifku l'meis, you shouldn't cry for a meis, it's Avram. That's Avram Avinu. Because the truth of the matter is that Avram Avinu really was immortal, but immortal in a totally different way. But Esav could not, Esav was the man of the physical, and to him, the immortality could not be tied to an abstract soul floating around in space. You see, this didn't satisfy his nature.
The emotion.
The emotion demanded that the immortality be in a physical form, be tied to some physical being. So when he saw Avram, when Avram was alive, he was afraid of him. He was frightened of him. He respected him. This man has captured immortality. Once he died like anybody else, the whole image was broken. But the Ruach HaKodesh said, that's what Esav said. That's what the person's emotions say. But the Ruach HaKodesh says, don't cry for Aharon Hayinu. He is immortal. Because his immortality stems from the fact that he's not from his guf, not from his physical self, but it's on a different thing, different wavelength, different entity. Who should you cry for? You should cry for the one that's dying. Who's that referring to? Zeh Esav. That's referring to the man of the physical. Because the man of the physical, when he dies, in fact, he is gone. You see?
No fine, right?
That's what the... So really, that idea is expressed in the pasuk. So he said that he, that's right. So Vayoma Esav said, first he asked him, he said, what are you cooking over there? So I'm cooking these beans. Why? Because Avraham Avinu died. It's Avilu Sushal Avraham Avinu. So he said to him, so Esav, then he said, sell me the Bechor. He says, Hinei Enoch HaHalech Lamas. I'm going to die. It means he recognized his own mortality. When he faced his own mortality, then it was Lamas Ali Bechor. And there was no more reason. Nothing was able to sustain him anymore. But you see, this emotion, then the pasuk says, you take a look at this, it's an interesting chazal. It says, "Vayom Erev Shem Likayom, Vayim Kosh Charasal Yaakov." It says, "Vayakov Nasan Leisav Lechem Nizir Adoshim." It says, "Vayochal Vayeisht Vayokom Vayelech Vayivez Esav Varasabchara." What does the pasuk say? "Vayochal Vayeisht Vayokom Vayelech." So Rashi says, everyone represents a An Avera. It's not a Rashi. It's a Chazal. What? There's a Chazal. It says, on Vayocha Vayesht, everyone represents an Avera. It means after that was the turning point in Esav's life. That was the turning point. There's actually a Rashi in Pirkei Avos that we once did that says that Talmud Chacham, if a Talmud Chacham does something wrong, and because of that he's Chayav Misa and he dies at an early age, so he's Machal Shein Shemayim. So they said, what is Machalash and Shemayim? The answer is, because people, when a Talmud Chacham is an old man, it represents to people the fantasy of immortality. And that causes people to move towards the good, causes them to move towards Torah. You see? If a Talmud Chacham dies at a young age, so people are turned away. Why are they turned away? It's the same thing over here. That's it. No, the reason why it was a big day was because that was the turning point of his life.
Yeah. What was his instinct?
People don't have too many big days in their lives. Usually there's one big day and that does it.
That's how I want to do
it. That was a big day. That's right. Five Averis he did in that day. Gemara's Basir Daf Tazayinum Beis. So two of them he did before. He did Baal Naira Marasa and he killed somebody was before. But apparently at that point he still wasn't ready to give up the Bechorah. Didn't have error. He was still drawn. He still hadn't decided. He was still in a state of indecision. He was overcome by an emotion, but he didn't make his final decision yet. But when did he withdraw from the whole idea of the? When did he withdraw? That was by the Bechorah. That was the Bechorah. Was the total change. That was the Lama Zali Bechorah, and that was when he found out that. In other words, he had really succumbed to his emotions before, in terms of really. In terms of Ritzicha and in terms of instincts, he had succumbed to his emotions, but still, in all, he had hopes of there's another force there. He was still attached to the force. His hopes of getting back, you know, personally, his hopes. Yeah, he overcame, you know, he was overcome his emotions. The truth is, still, the other force still played a role. But then, when this happened, then he withdrew completely from that side, and that was really the start of Esav. That was the beginning. That was the start of his career.
Yitzhak couldn't keep him.
It's an interesting thing. It's a good point. Question why Yitzhak couldn't keep him. But the grandfather of Avraham Avinu was the one that represented the immortality. See? That was the one. Zakein. He said, Kvar Pagamizim Baosa Zakein. He knew he was the founder. He was the tzaddik. He was the one that started of the whole system. He's the man. And he saw that he succumbed. That was the end of it. By the way, what's the other chazal? The one that Rashi quotes. Rashi says, the Bechorah is going to diminish. Means the Bechorah is going to diminish. It's going to be taken away. So who cares if it's going to be taken away? But in the meantime, you have a few hundred years. You have time to use it. What's it going to be? It'll exist after you. The answer is, he can only attach himself to an immortal fantasy. That this is going to be the thing that always remains. It's going to cease in permanence.
That's in Kohelet.
Yeah, that's the same thing you read. Kohelet mentioned it also. One of the in Kohelet, there are different arguments over there. The hard thing about understanding Kohelet is the different arguments, different directions. You don't know which time he's arguing which way, which time he's arguing the other way. But one of the arguments is, how could the wise man die with a fool? See, that's what does it mean? What does that mean? How could the wise man die with a fool? That's the question. That hits the emotions. The fact that the wise man does die with a fool hits a person's emotions, and kills his fantasies insofar as the wise man is concerned. You see, that's the same emotion, same exact emotion, powerful emotion. That fantasy is definitely responsible on the whole for people's religiosity, and that was the really what Esav. The Esav was responsible for his religiosity too. But Esav, and Howie brought a nice raya for the first point that we mentioned, that that the Torah respects a person has the ability to accomplish, even though in any area. Because you see, it says Vayivrosov Esav Yaakov Banav. So the Ramban says Esav Yaakov Banav Gedolei Ha'olam. You see, Gedolei Ha'olam. So you see that it was a covet for Yitzchak that these great people were buried him as a covet, because even though Esav was a Rasha, but he reflected that perfection. And Yadus recognizes that you have to split off the two parts. I wanted to add one thing to the conflict of Esav. It says Vayavo Esav min asadevahu oyef, and he was tired. So why was he tired? He really did. He had done it at that point. It says Baal Naira Hamarasa, and what else? And he killed somebody. So now, why was he tired from that? You see. So the answer is because he was tired. He was tired from the averas. Really, are basically fantasies. That's what moves a person towards averas, is fantasy. He has a fantasy. He's going to have some satisfaction. In reality, the satisfaction isn't there because it's an unconscious thing that he's really looking for that he can never achieve. So after the avera, he's left with the frustration. But the question is, if that's the case, so all Esav, all his life should have been oyev, should have been tired because of the frustration. He's always involved in avera. So the answer is like this. The answer is that why isn't the Russia always tired? Because the Russia, there's one thing that keeps him going. After the frustration of the particular avera, what keeps him going is the fact that he attaches an ego to what he's accomplished, to what he did. In other words, there's a sense of accomplishment afterwards. So the sense of accomplishment removes, is the only thing that lingers afterwards and removes the frustration that remains after the avera. Now Esav, at that point, his superego, his ego ideal was really Avraham Avinu, you see. That was his ego ideal, Avraham Avinu. So really, at that point, all he had, the averas, the reason why he did the avera was only because of the taiva itself. So therefore, what he was left with after the avera, he couldn't attach any ego to it. Because at that point, his ego was Avraham. So therefore, that's why he was exhausted. He was exhausted because all he had was the frustration from the Maisa Vera itself. You see?
How does he send ego to Avram?
1 second. The fact at that moment, he was under the influence of Avram Avinu. The Torah is telling you the day that he of his change. Well, how did he change? Because he said, "Kvar pogam mida sadin ba'osa zokain." Which means that and then he says there's no schar mitzvah, there's nothing. That's when he gave everything up. That was the transition point.
In other words, at that point there was no ego ideal.
Exactly.
He destroyed it.
That's right.
It was destroyed.
That's right. When Avraham Avinu died, the ego ideal was gone. The ego ideal for the life that partakes in the metaphysical. That was the end of that one. Now he went for the physical life. You see? So when he did the first averas, he did it because he was overcome by his emotions, by his lust, by his emotional desire. But there was no ego ideal yet attached to these actions. On the contrary, it was guilt. He felt guilty that he was overcome by these emotions. So therefore, when a person doesn't have an ego ideal attached to it, he can't pat himself on the back and say he's a great man because that it's an accomplishment. So all he has left after the avera is frustration. Because since the avera is based on fantasy, and after he acts out his fantasy, he never really gets what he really wants, because this isn't really the thing he wants. It's really something deep down that he's searching for, that he thinks this is it. You see? He makes a mistake. That's why afterwards all he's left with is frustration. So at that point he was under the influence of Avraham Avinu. So he couldn't have any satisfaction after the act. from the fact that he did a great thing. On the contrary, it was a terrible thing. All he had was guilt. So he was oyef. That's why he was exhausted. See, and that was vayiglu anorim. That was the time when he was overpowered by his instincts. See? So that was the day when he came back. He was oyef. He was exhausted from the frustration. But then the moment he heard that kvar pagam midas din bo sazaken, then he dropped Avram Avinu as his ego ideal. You see? Once he dropped him as an ego ideal, then he assumed another ego ideal. A man who was a physical, man of physical might. Then he wasn't tired anymore after that. After that, even after the Maase Aveira, he could always have the enjoyment that he's a great person. You see? Afterwards, it says, yeah, Vayochal, Vayesht, Vayokum, Vayelach. He was reborn. That was on his way. That was the new ego ideal. Go. Maase Aveira, here we go. See, but Esav was a great man. It takes a great person to make such moves. To make such a transition. The average person is too weak to even do that. He's just caught in conflict and he just remains in conflict. See? That's even though it's evil, it shows there is a certain godless Adam there. Certain, yeah. The ability to make a decision. You find like Chazal, even though like certain Rishoyim and Tanakh. But you'll notice the way Chazal talk about them. There's a certain respect. Like in Achitofel. Achitofel was a Russia. He committed suicide. But you see what the Pasuk talks about? The Pasuk says about that person would ask Achitofel for an Eitzah. Kasha Yishol Ish Belokim. Like a person they asked in the Urim Tumim. And David HaMelech called him Rabbi Alufi Umyudoi. That's what the tremendous respect. You're not dealing with even though Achitofel made a decision to forfeit Olam Haba, it wasn't like Stama Russia, a weakling that just can't get into his emotions. Achitofel made a decision. He was a gaver, as a man, whatever it was, but whatever, away from the godless Adam. Even if he's a Russia, but if in his Maase Aveira there's something of the godless Adam is expressed, the Torah doesn't take it away from him. See? That what? Yeah, but if you look at the psukim, you see that. Yeah, this is analysis of the human personality. It's not a question of us being a good guy or a bad guy. Achitofel, in spite of the fact that he was a Russia, was a great man.
Amazing thing, having the gauge for evaluation.
Acher was a person who denied the Yisod, one of the Yisod, the Ados. I mean, one of them, probably the most important, almost, of the Yisod, the Anash. I mean, you can't get too... much more important than Tzchav Onesh. And you see Acher did it. And you see the way Chazal, first of all, they never put him in Cherem. You see? How they tolerated him. No, they tolerated him. They respected him. The Gemara said, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi spoke something against him and he was Nenash. Said a word against him was Nenash. Because of his greatness in Torah. Yadis recognizes that the person is not just... That's just a simple phenomenon. He's good or bad. That's just an emotional. That's the emotional. That's the religions of the world. Just have these emotions. Good, bad. More complex than that.
Yeah, I guess it's a question. I just want to know that in terms of our perfection, I just mean that just meant.
A man's overcome by the desire to kill somebody. He's a criminal. But a person who goes out and kills many people, like Napoleon, is a conqueror. He feels proud of himself. Different kind of phenomena. That's what Plato says. Plato said that. Plato said if you steal from an individual, you're a thief. But if an army goes and pillages another land, another people, they're conquerors. That shows you that itself. That phenomena itself shows you how little you could depend on the how unreliable. The person's emotions are in determining what the ethical reality is. As you can see, how those emotions could be twisted so easily. That's really what happened in Nazi Germany. You could have a whole nation that could... But it's not just Nazi Germany. I mean, it's a general phenomenon. You have a whole nation that has a program of evil, and they will feel proud about themselves. Ben Adam is no good. So that's what Rambam says, that this case of this whole case of Rosh Hagag is based on that principle. That all I'm doing is creating a situation... Since he put him on the Gargul Nagvan, so he's just creating a situation that permits Mikveh Mayim to occur. So therefore, it's okay.